kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe, joining as usual. Cole, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm old and I'm tired, but I'm all right.
I'm old and I'm tired, too.
Yeah, it's a thing that happens sometimes. And you start off all young and full of energy, and then before you know it, you're old and you're tired and you're yelling at people to get off your lawn.
Yeah. Get off my lawn. This has been a really bad week. Just if people listen to the last episode, they know that someone in the VG Mix community was taken away from us this week. And I literally mean he was taken away because it was like an execution style murder.
Yeah.
Is what they're calling it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's heartbreaking.
From a former cop, too.
Yeah.
Isn't that shitty?
Yeah, it really is.
I'm not sure if you kept up on all the stuff in my circle of friends. I'm not sure if any of that made it your way or
not. I've seen some mentions of it, but I wasn't entirely sure what had happened.
Yeah, there was...
Which seems to be my natural state, honestly.
Yeah, for the people who missed it, you might have seen in the national news, someone named Sean Babbitt was killed a couple of days ago while visiting his daughter. He had visitation mm-hmm. with his daughter. Apparently him and the mother, former mother-in-law, got in an argument and it ended with 10 gunshots to him.
Oh my goodness.
10. How fucked that up is that?
That is to the point you're like passionately angry.
Yeah.
You have to be a special kind of angry to put 10 entire shots in a human being.
Yeah, the police who were on the scene and everything called it an execution killing.
Wow.
That's how fucked up it is. And then on top of that, I just found out this week that one of my favorite employees at our local Kmart, she passed away as well. I'm assuming that one's natural, though.
I did see you post that on Facebook. I did see that one.
Yeah, her name was Gail. She was amazing.
I'm very sorry for your losses.
She used to work in the electronics section back when they still had an electronics section. And a couple of years ago, Kmart made this huge push with video games, with pre-order bonuses and coupons that you could get for buying select titles. Mm-hmm. And Gail, every time I would go in, she'd be like, "What kind of coupons are you using this time?" She was there when I bought the collector edition of the one of Twilight Princess, I think it was. On the Wii U, or no, on the Wii, that's how old it was. Jesus.
Wow.
Hey, no time. Thanks for the sub. 14 month streak.
That's better than me.
I know.
Maybe we should let no time be the co-host.
I can at least tell how long we've been affiliated, though, because I'm pretty sure no time hasn't missed a single month, which is amazing.
Yeah. That is incredible.
But as I was saying, I bought the special edition that came with either a golden nunchuck or a golden controller, some kind of golden bonus controller and a soundtrack. It was like $80 or something. And with all my coupons, I ended up paying $5 out of pocket.
Wow.
Because I just saved them up.
That's incredible.
She was proud of me for that one.
Yeah, I would be too. Shit.
Yeah, I was excited. That was fun. Those are ages ago, though, when you think about what was included.
Yeah.
I mean, holy shit.
I mean,
back
it was on
the Wii days.
I think I only had one kid in school when there was a Wii.
I should probably switch to the podcast layout. Yeah, there we go.
Eh, it's fine.
I'm using a different mic stand this week. Apparently, my old mic stand was causing a lot of feedback, and I'm buzzing. I was listening back to the shows. Carnage dropping 100 biddies. I can't tell any goddamn stories today, can I? I gotta drop this and then...
Dropping bits!
Oh, George, I love you. Oh, what story was I about to tell?
Mic arm causing feedback.
Oh, it was causing feedback and buzzing. I would listen back to the shows, and every time I would talk, you would hear a loud hum after it.
Yeah.
And I switched to a different mic stand, and it's reduced it, but I don't think it got rid of it. I don't know if something is causing interference in my room, but it's a new issue and situation. I don't know what the hell caused it, why it happened, but this made it a little bit better.
Mine is good, yeah?
Yeah, you sound fine.
This new motherfucker better be good. That's all I noticed. I do worry because, like, I don't have a shock mount or anything on it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's got a regular microphone holder, but my Fifon mic is too fat for it. So I just kind of, like, cram it down in there the best I can. And then I use zip ties to hold it to it.
Nice. Hey, whatever works, right?
Redneck ingenuity.
Redneck MacGyver.
Yeah, if you can't zip tie it, then duct tape it. If you can't duct tape it, zip tie it. If you can't use either one, then it can't be fixed.
Dark Mika, I'd give you hugs, but I'd have to grope your boobs, and I think that would be awkward, Joe. No, not at all. The awkward part when I would grope back. Because I don't get squeezed unless I'm squeezing back. I do that to all my friends who come over. They're like, hey, how you doing? And they'll just like jokingly squeeze my fat man titty. And I'll just reach over and squeeze their non-existent man titty because they're in better shape than me.
Oh, I mean, I like to say what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Whatever works, right?
Yeah. Yeah. If you're able to do it to me, I can do it right back.
Absolutely.
That's my SJW feminist agenda shining through.
Oh my God, this show is going to be a train wreck.
That's my self-qualifier now.
Nothing happened this week. I'm trying to go through new, like, I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel for news this week.
Like, my little notebook is overflowing.
Yours is?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad someone has news.
I have a handful of things to talk about.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, I put my little pen to use, and that's good. Like, I don't know. I fuss all the time that for an artist, I shouldn't have as many dead pens as I do. And then I realized that maybe I should have as many dead pens as I do because I waste them. You got to draw dicks with something.
Yeah.
And apparently, I like to grab my expensive fountain pens to do it.
Hey, that just leads to higher quality dicks.
Higher quality dicks. And everybody needs a high quality dick in their day.
Chat room is blowing up with Mortal Kombat talk right now.
Oh, yeah, and I don't even have Mortal Kombat written down.
No, I do, so we'll lead off with that. Unless you had anything non-video game related you wanted to talk about.
Number 3 got in a fight with a T-Rex again.
Again?
That's why I'm tired. Because I spent the day at the emergency room. I literally did this 6 weeks ago. On a Thursday then, too.
I know. What happened this time?
She was playing in the gym at school during recess and somebody pushed her. And she smacked her face on the floor again. And it's it is honest to goodness in the exact same spot where the other one was.
Oh, Lord. It just
split right back open and she had to have 3 stitches again.
Oh, God. Was it 3 last time?
No, last time was 6. So it's half of it popped back open. So I'm sure I can probably expect social services on my doorstep tomorrow because my kid has been in the ER twice in 6 weeks time to get stitches on her face.
You got to find out who's pushing her and like go to the principal because this is twice now.
Yeah.
It's some bullshit.
Yeah, I don't think they even know who did it the first time around because they were all going out to the bus and it was like a whole rash of kids.
Mm.
And this time she knows who did it this time. So she gave me a name. She's a snitch. Love her heart. Good. That's probably why she's got stitches, but she's a snitch. But she had to get 3 in her love her little heart in her face again. And I don't know. I guess we'll go take them out next week and hope for the best this time around.
So. Oh, boy. Just tell her to push back, and that way when she tells on her, it'll be official that snitches got stitches.
Yeah, she's just, I don't know, it's kind of hard for her to push back when she's on the floor covered in blood, I guess. But
that sucks. I think
that's the thing that bugs me the most about it, is like, at least this time they weren't so nonchalant. The first time they were like, it's just a small scrape, and it was like a whole 1-inch gash, and it was super deep and everything. This time, the nurse calls, and literally she's like, I need to talk to you about Alice. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, well, you may want to take her to the emergency room again. No. Because she's fallen again, and she hit her face again. And I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. So yeah, that was how my afternoon went, and I'm ready to crawl in a hole and like sleep for a week till I gotta take her to get the stitches back out.
Damn.
Mika said she's my kid, that's for sure. It's true. But you know what's funny about it is that I mean, I've been doing this mom thing for like 15 and a half years now. And she's the first one that's ever had to have stitches. Like, we've had no broken bones, no surgeries.
Oh, you should talk to Ashley about that. She was, her and her brother and sister were in the hospital all the time when they were kids. Yeah.
Like, I hear horror stories all the time. And I'm like, no, I've been really lucky. And I haven't had to, you know, I hit the mic. I'm sorry. None of them have had any major issues. And then along comes number three. And it's just like, here, let me double up on it. We got some making up to do, Mom.
It's time.
Yeah. So she's also going to bankrupt me because she's like, of course, she's like, I get a treat for every stitch, right? Child, I am onto you.
Be like, yeah, here's three pieces of gum. Now shut your fucking face.
She likes those. She's a dinosaur junkie. Like any and all thing dinosaurs. Which is funny, she's wearing her little pink dinosaur dress today. But she says she's all about dinosaurs in every way, shape, form possible. And like Walmart has these little tiny plastic dinosaurs for like $1 a piece. And I'm like, oh, you want a treat per stitch? Well, you can go get three dinosaurs.
Oh, shit. Carnage just linked that the SNK 40th anniversary collection is apparently coming to Xbox. That is amazing. Oh.
Very nice.
May 3rd.
Wow, that's soon.
Wasn't that a NIST title? It says published by Other Ocean. I wonder if they're just like, I wonder who is publishing for real. If this has anything to do with NIST or not. I guess not. But hot shit, the SNK collection's coming to Xbox. Fuck yes, we covered that a couple of months ago on the Switch. And God, who was it who covered? I think Tim Ekibis covered it. And he said like, that is the way that these kind of retro collections should be done.
Damn.
And he said it was absolutely worth every penny. I know Carnage is saying it's $40, unlike the Konami ones that are only $10. There's a lot more games in the SNK one, and it's done a whole lot better. More love, a lot more care. So that is awesome news for me. I am thrilled to see that.
Carnage says the Konami ones are $20.
Yeah, and they only have 8 games each, so. But yeah, fucking SNK 40th anniversary. Hell yeah.
Nice.
Gonna have to hit up my friends at Other Ocean and see if they're really handling the publishing and if they're doing review copies.
Yeah.
Cause that'll be fucking cool.
Give please.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So anyway, we're talking about Mortal Kombat. Yes. Mortal Kombat 11 launched this week and it has gotten a lot of flack after initially claiming that there would be absolutely no loot boxes in the game. But they have their crypt, which in the past, the crypt, you would go in, you would spend your coins, you would unlock fatalities, or you would unlock skins, you would unlock, you know, whatever you would find in the crypt.
Yeah.
But the crypt was static. Like, if you went to a certain spot and opened something, you knew what was going to be there.
Right. Yeah. I know. I've played. So I actually, for a change, I actually know these things. But I have to explain. Yeah, I've played a lot of Mortal Kombat. I haven't played 10, but.
But you know how the crypt works.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
This time, the crypt is completely randomized.
That's not cool.
Not at all. Fans of the series are obviously pissed off that it's randomized. There's a bunch of different currencies in the game. Obviously, there are paid currencies that you could spend real money on. Last I checked, which was yesterday, Wednesday, the game had a 2.6 user score on Metacritic.
Wow.
2.6 due to players being upset with the randomized crypt and the focus on just overall grindy gameplay meant to waste everybody's time through artificial engagement. Someone tried putting out some kind of mathematical formula that showed it would take like $6,400 to unlock everything. And Ed Boon himself was like, that story's bullshit. Most of the skins you can't even buy with real money. So that story is just, it's, you know, obviously people are going to be upset, but it looks like people are going about it the wrong way and trying to look for problems that aren't there. The major problem with the game is how grindy it is.
Yeah. But hasn't Mortal Kombat always been grindy as fuck? Like, I feel like that's always been my biggest thing. Like, I know that I love Mortal Kombat. I'm actually pretty decent, despite being an avowed button masher. But I always went into it knowing that I was, like, never going to get past 30% of the content.
Yeah.
And so I find it odd for people to complain now that it's going to take a chunk of time. Now, I will say, as far as the crypt goes, I always thought the crypt was particularly grindy. I always only ever went through looking for, like, I always looked up where to find the skins.
Yeah, which is what everybody
all I cared
did. So,
about, and so everything else could fuck off. But you know,
I can kind of understand why they went with the randomized crypt, so that people weren't just going for specifically the stuff that they wanted.
Yeah,
it's meant to be more exciting. Of hey, I don't know what I'm gonna get, which is the same shit that a fucking loot box is.
Loot box.
I think the two biggest problems here are that it is so incredibly grindy to do to actually get up the coins to unlock stuff in the crypt. And number two, the fact that they have real money shit in the game.
Yeah. I can understand people being upset about that. I think not even necessarily unfortunately. That's definitely not the right word. But we've reached a point in gaming where tolerance for microtransactions has pretty much shit the bed. And especially if you say there aren't going to be microtransactions, and then you put in some kind of way for people to pay cash for something.
Well, they didn't say no microtransaction. They said no loot boxes.
Loot boxes. Yeah. Well, I mean,
which technically you're not paying real money for a random thing. You know, like when you buy the skins with real money, you know what you're buying.
You're getting the skin. But I don't know. I'm torn between we've gotten to a point where we just get pissed off every time there's any kind of means for buying additional content, and also developers are constantly looking for a way to get whatever they can out of you.
No.
This is definitely a case where I fence it. I don't know that I necessarily think Mortal Kombat's system, apart from the crypt, is that egregious as what we've seen in other games. I think there's been other games that do it far worse.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also not good.
No, not at all.
So
Olsen Prime is saying that he found at least 7 loot boxes. In what way, like, what are they? Do you have to pay for a key to unlock them, or can you just open them normally? Because if you have to pay for a key to unlock them, I could see why that's an issue. I only played like an hour of it last night, and I was fucked up on sleeping pills, so I don't remember anything. He said free keys.
Okay, so what happens if you get duplicates? That's my other question.
I would imagine you would get, like, in-game currency for it.
Yeah.
And that's even if they do duplicates. It's possible that they don't have the ability to do duplicates. But, again,
which
I personally haven't played it enough to comment on this that much.
That is a reoccurring theme, at least, that either duplicates are just completely eliminated or if
I thought you were going to say it's a reoccurring theme that I didn't play enough of a game to comment on it.
I mean, that might also be the case. You're over there cosplaying as Carnage. You get one achievement and you never touch it again.
Oh, no, I got like 4.
Oh, yeah. See, that's like 4 whole Carnages.
I'm already better than him.
I mean, I don't know. I always tend to be a little more lenient if there's a free option.
Yeah.
But I don't like the whole randomizing of the crypt. That's horseshit.
Yeah. Clearly, you need to win a copy of the game and tell us more about it.
I do. I love Mortal Kombat, but I knew I wasn't going to buy it because Studa refuses to play Mortal Kombat with me anymore.
Oh. Are you that good at it?
I'm better than him.
Because I'm not good at fighting games. I get my ass kicked.
I've been trying to talk him into playing Mortal Kombat X. So we played Mortal Kombat 9, I guess it was, on the 360. And I think we maybe played for about 2 or 3 days, and I couldn't get him to play it anymore.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Now every time I mention Mortal Kombat, it just gets a sad groan.
I just want to take a second to appreciate something that I did. I normally have Twitch on my left monitor, but I moved it over to my right monitor this time.
Yeah.
And now every time that someone mentions something in chat and I look over to read it, the video of me looks down at the chat. And it just looks like, hey, something just popped up and I'm reading it.
That's fantastic.
I'm proud of myself. No one's going to care about that, but I'm happy with it.
That is fantastic.
See, that's how much nothing has happened this week. Something that happened this week that I know you are very, very excited about.
Yes.
The Sims 4 has gotten the new Spa Day edition.
Okay, but that's not the good part.
Oh, yeah. And then in the footnote, they mentioned, oh, yeah, and I also got mouse and keyboard support.
Fucking finally. I can't. I cannot imagine how many times on this show I have said that all I want is mouse and keyboard on The Sims. And now I finally got it. And now I just need to find like 17 hours to sit down and play it.
Did you mess with it at all?
I have not. I got it reinstalled and that was the extent of it.
That's progress. That's your homework for next week. You got to tell us how mouse and keyboard support is.
I really am. I just like, I don't know. Only give me 8 games to review next week instead of 24. So I can do There they go.
Doggies. Oh, you don't have to mute. Fuck it. Just let it go.
They sound like they're being murdered. G told me to leave the back door open for him so that he could come in without having to come through the living room and disturb me. And so now they're definitely losing their shit because nobody ever uses the back door.
What's going on?
They're just like, I have a feeling they don't even realize that door opens.
What the fuck's going on to the wall? Why is it opening?
This shatters their whole little spotted worldviews.
But yeah, you're excited about mouse and keyboard though, huh?
Yeah, I really am, though. I love The Sims. I'll tell you how frustrated I got with it on Xbox. I actually bought it for PC.
Wow.
Yeah, I was so frustrated trying to play it on Xbox. I was like, just give me a goddamn mouse and keyboard. So I broke down and bought it. It was on sale for like $6, and I bought it on sale for PC.
Awesome Prime just typed, look, Joe, and I looked over right on cue. Oh, amazing. You're muted again, aren't you?
Yes.
All right, some more news that happened this week. Nintendo has announced that Super Mario Maker 2 has gotten a June 28th release date for the Switch. I am very excited for that one. I love the first game, and I'm excited to see what people could do with the second one. And you're still muted, so respawn as
I'm sorry. Bested it. Trust me, though. Like, Dante just came running through here all wagging his tail like, oh my god, it's mom, my mom. And I'm like, no, go to bed.
Oh my Lord. If only dogs knew that we were doing a show.
He would just be like all up on the mic sniffing it, and Dante doesn't understand personal space whatsoever.
Well, do you have any comments on Mario Maker 2 getting a June 28th release date?
It's sooner than I expected.
Yeah.
I really thought it would be later this year, like closer to Christmas.
Yeah, I thought it'd be a holiday title, but Midsummer, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, it's probably for the better, because I assume they're like kids will be out on summer break, and you know, parents are going to be looking for a sanity saver.
Oh yeah.
So
think of all the dick shaped courses people are going to make. Just like all the dick shaped stages that have been made in Smash Brothers that people are getting suspensions over.
Are they? I mean, it makes sense that they're suspending them, but
they're funny. Small suspensions. Like someone got their suspended. It was like you're suspended for 7 hours.
Oh, that's it.
So I would imagine if you're a repeat offender, if you're a repeat offender, it gets worse. But
I would stay off of a game for 7 hours in exchange for getting to make a dick.
You could just draw a dick.
I know, but. There's just something special about putting dicks where dicks shouldn't be.
Dark Meek is saying Nintendo's deleted over 1,000 of them already or something. That is amazing.
Wow.
Oh my god, that is amazing.
If I had a Switch, 999 of them would have been mine.
We need to get you a Switch.
Yeah, just so I can make dicks and get suspended.
Just to make dick stages, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Speaking of Smash Brothers, Smash Brothers Ultimate has become the best-selling fighting game of all time already since
Holy
December.
Fucking I mean,
December.
Don't be an overachiever or anything.
I think the highest previously was like 10 million units. And now Smash Ultimate has already sold 13.8 million copies. Again, since December.
I didn't think that many people had Switches.
I didn't think so either. I thought the Switch was at like 12 million people or something. Apparently, yeah. I'm behind on my sales figures.
Maybe some people bought it multiple times just because they were excited.
It could be something like what Legend of Zelda was, where Legend of Zelda had like 110% attach rate when the Switch launched
of people. How?
People buying the game without buying the system because they were planning on buying the system.
Wow.
Yeah. Or people buying multiple copies because they had the collector's edition too.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere there was like a little grandma buying like 8 of them for her grandkids without realizing that they could all just share it on.
Here you go, Billy. Here's your copy of Legend of Zelda. Jimmy, here's your copy.
And just had no idea. And then them kids are like trading that shit in and buying Nintendogs or something.
Fucking Nintendogs. Unfortunately, there is no Nintendogs on the Switch yet.
Sacrilege.
Hopefully soon.
What about Cooking Mama Cook Off?
Nope, no Cooking Mama. God, I don't think there's any Nintendo. Cooking Mama either.
Why the hell does that anybody like a Switch then? I don't understand this.
For Zelda and Mario and Smash Brothers. Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee are at 10.63 million copies. Super Mario Party is at 6.4 million. And I kind of thought that one was slow out of the gate. So it's surprising that that one's selling so well. And then Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is at 7.47 million copies sold, which for a game that came out last generation is pretty impressive.
Also, Prime says Nintendo Horses on it. So if that's true, then I could be convinced to get a Switch again.
Nintendo Horse. That would be an amazing game title.
I will forgive Nintendogs for not being there if I can have Nintendo Horse.
I'm guessing it's a third party horse game, but we have those on Xbox as well. We just got to get you them.
Yeah, that's true.
But I've tried.
We always get the shitty horse games. Although I didn't play My Little Riding Champion, although I assume that one's probably shitty too in the end.
I don't know. I've tried requesting the horse games specifically for Jacob because he thinks it'd be a joke to get them.
Yeah.
And he doesn't realize that if we get them for review, he has to give it a good review. Like, I don't mean a positive review. I just mean like a solid, legitimate review. He's like, it'd be so funny. I could review it while high and be like, no, you're going to give it a legit, real review. Good or bad, I don't care. You're going to do your job. Unfortunately, I didn't hear back. Carnage saying that far lap game isn't too bad. I didn't hear back from them.
I seem to remember you asking me too before you reached out for it, and I was really worried that it was going to be like horse racing 2016 over again.
How dare you besmirch horse racing 2016?
Oh my god.
That game had a banging soundtrack.
It also had some banging bugs.
Well, yeah. Obviously.
And it was ugly.
Oh, let's see what other news. Respawn has announced that they are delaying all of their current Titanfall projects to instead focus on Apex Legends. They said this will have no impact on Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, but it is a bummer that that Titanfall is on hold.
You know, I think if Apex had done well, but not as well, we'd have still got Titanfall 3 fine. But because Apex just lost its shit in doing well, they didn't really have any choice but to dedicate everything to Apex now.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of inevitable with its success. I know people are pissed. It's amusing that people are pissed off. And it's like, well, if you had bought Titanfall 2, this wouldn't have fucking happened, and you could have had Titanfall 3.
Seriously.
Nobody wanted to buy Titanfall 2 until it was marked down to $6 all the goddamn time for the Ultimate Edition.
I was all ready to buy a Collector Edition of Titanfall 2, and then they announced that the Collector Edition just came with a helmet, and that turned me completely off. I bought the regular version of the game, but I still would have really loved to get another collector's edition like the first game had with that giant, like, 2 foot tall mech statue.
Yeah.
That thing is fucking awesome looking.
Mm.
I think I actually did an unboxing video of that. I haven't done an unboxing video in a while. I should do those again.
You need to get your shit together, Joe.
I could have done one for Sekiro. I could have done one for Generation Zero. Oh, well.
So much potential content so we could have more than 5 viewers.
Yeah, but those are just unboxing videos. No one who watches those gives a shit about the show.
You don't know that.
Ubisoft has confirmed that Assassin's Creed Unity was downloaded over 3 million times following their free offer after the Notre Dame fire.
That's fantastic.
3 million people.
Unity gets a lot of shit, but I actually really liked it.
I need to play it more. I only played it when it was still super buggy and crappy.
I 1K'd it.
Really?
Yeah, and I got all except for one achievement in the free DLC, because it glitched. So, yeah, but I did all of it. I just didn't get the achievement for it. But
Unity's the one that's multiplayer, right?
Yeah, I mean, I drug Studa through it with me.
Well, might have to hit you up for that one.
I have one really super awesome screenshot of where I was like just walking along going toward a mission, and there was a peasant sitting in a tree. And it's incredible. Like, I've kept that screenshot this whole time, and I giggle every time I see it.
I think one of the first videos I recorded on my Xbox was, no, that was from Black Flag. Now, when Unity came out, there was a video I took where my character went to climb on top of a roof, and then he stood and fell inside the roof, and then just fell into nothingness void.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so I clipped directly through the building into nothingness.
Yes! You were in the Animus code.
Last bit of news that I have is that Patrick Mahomes has been announced as the cover star for Madden 20, releasing August 20th. Like I said, not a lot of news for me this week. So we're talking about Madden cover athletes.
Wow. I don't even know who these people are.
Patrick Mahomes is a quarterback who has kind of set the world on fire last year, and I think it's a well-deserved cover opportunity for the young lad. Hopefully this bodes well for his team, because the last guy that was on the cover was Pittsburgh Steelers Antonio Brown, who is no longer Pittsburgh Steelers Antonio Brown.
He's the one, he got traded
for peanuts. He got traded for literal peanuts in the off season because him and Ben Roethlisberger got into a little shit fit online. And I guess it came down to, well, trade me or I'm going to sit out like Le'Veon Bell did.
Wow.
So they traded him for damn near nothing. They got jack shit from the Raiders.
And they have
to pay, they still have to pay all this cap salary. And oh my God, Steeler fans. It hurts. It hurts us a lot. How bad this situation was. Sports balls. Yay.
Yeah, that's out of my realm of expertise. I apologize.
You said you had some news. What do you have to talk about?
That's a good question, huh? Xbox insiders are getting some new updates. Have you heard about that?
Do tell.
Do tell. First off, Game Pass is getting a play later option so that you can sort out the games that you want to play from Game Pass without having to dig through them and forgetting about them or losing them in the sea of Game Pass entries. you can set up your own, essentially a wish list, if you will, of just games you want to play later.
That's a smart idea.
Yeah, it really is. My games and app is getting an update in the Insider Ring. It's getting new sorting options.
Vertically Impaired just subbed. Holy shit. He is also for 14 months, although it doesn't say a streak of 14 months. So I'm not sure if there was a 15th month in there.
I think you can choose not to show your streak too.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's two subs in one episode. I don't know what to do about that.
I don't know. We got any codes? That's kind of just the solution to everything. Put a code on the screen.
Very true.
My games and apps is getting better sorting. Games with the and A and N in the title are no longer going to show up under T or A. They will now show up under the first letter that they should. So that's nice. That'll make things easier. There's also going to be a new icon display by people's names on your friends list to not just show you what people are playing, but show you where they're playing it.
Which is awesome. There are so many people on Reddit who make posts like, oh, why is my friend playing this game? It doesn't exist on Xbox One.
Right.
Like, so now they're playing on their PC, you dipshit.
Yep. Now it'll show you whether it's there will be like a little phone icon if you're on mobile, and it'll also show a different icon for PC. I don't remember what the PC one was. And a console, I think we just keep the little gamepad looking thing. They are also separating out messages. So from now on, you'll only get messages directly if you're in the Insider Ring right now. You'll only get messages directly from people that you're friends with or that you know. And the rest will go into a message request tab like you have on Facebook or Twitter.
So I have to look more places for the same thing.
Yeah, but it will be a case of like if people that you haven't interacted with before, which I'm not terribly upset about because I get a lot of shit I don't want. So I'm perfectly okay with that just being sorted out for me.
Oh my God, Lady Gamer, send me nudes.
Yeah. It's funny because you can go look at people when you get a random hi from somebody you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just like go look at their profile, and everybody that they've befriended in the history of their account is a female. You will have no mutuals, nobody you know or recognize. It will just be there's got to be a list curated somewhere of female gamer tags, because there's no other reasoning behind just having 300 females on your friends list. It's so weird. Anyway, they did say, however, that while that's being transitioned over, it is possible that existing group chats could be lost.
Yeah, I saw that. So archive what you can.
Yeah. They did also say there were extra experimental features being put into Insider Ring, but they didn't elaborate on what those are.
Mm.
The last bit of news I've got is I'm curious what you think about Cox's new Fastlane Elite Gamer Internet speeds.
I have no clue because we don't have Cox in our area.
We don't either, but I saw this anyway because it was, people were pissed on Twitter about it, as they should be.
I didn't see it. What is it?
So basically now, when you're playing...
Dark Mika Cox and can suck a Cox.
I always get tickled because Studa's internet is Cox, and he says that like the highest speed currently is called Gigablast.
Nice name.
Cox Gigablast.
It's the Cox Finger Blast internet package.
You can't help but laugh at that, man. And
it's
anyway,
fucking internet.
Aside from that, anyway, their new Elite Gamer option will allow you to pay $15 more, and you will have your internet routed through gaming specific servers when it detects that you are playing games like Overwatch, Apex Legends, or Fortnite.
Interesting.
Supposedly, this new Fastlane internet for elite gamers will offer 34% less lag, 55% less lag spikes, 45% less jitter.
What the fuck does any of that mean? If they have the power to do that, treat all internet like that and not just for games.
I think the
net neutrality needs to come the fuck back.
This is exactly what net neutrality was meant to protect us from.
Yes.
I think the most damning thing about it too is that they were asked if they had plans for this in 2017 and they said no. And here we are.
Motherfuckers.
You can now pay $15 more. I don't think it's going to be taken well. I really don't. But it's a little unnerving that they can detect that you're playing specific types of games in order to route you to special gaming servers.
Yeah, that's like, some bullshit.
If you have the ability to offer speeds and connectivity to that degree, why aren't you just doing it?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's bullshit. And give us net neutrality back. I also missed this one. I have so many little notes scribbled in my book.
So
this
proud one's of you. Place.
I know. Like, I don't ever do this. I should do this more because
you should.
I'm a useful member of the team.
It gave us content.
It did. I'm so good. Xbox has launched their new Xbox tourism campaign. Did you see this one?
Nope.
Joe?
I don't yell at you when you don't hear about news. I just tell you about the goddamn news.
But I'm the co-host. You're the host. That's the difference.
Fuck you. I quit.
I'm the supplemental entertainment.
Edit the goddamn show yourself, then.
Oh, God, no buttons. Anyway, Xbox Tourism Campaign is basically screenshots from scenic areas in games being promoted as a means of exploring world. And not all of them are realistic worlds, but you can make postcards out of screenshots. I did think it was funny that in the advertisement for it, one of the screens was the Lincoln Monument from The Division 2. And it's like, I don't know if dystopian DC is the best tourism area.
That's fantastic.
But it looked funny. But there were a lot of incredible screen grabs from different games. And it's kind of a neat way to show off what worlds look like when they're, you know, Xbox One X enhanced.
Yeah.
And it's
them shits is pretty.
Yeah, they're very pretty. That's all I had. My little book, I can turn it right side up now.
I'm had that so script. Proud of you for having news.
Yay, I need a bigger book.
Don't you have like a dozen notebooks or something?
I wrote it in my day planner.
Oh.
So I could remember it was for today. That was supposed to have been like all my space for notes for a whole week.
And now it's all gone.
So if something happens on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday that I need a note for, I'm kind of just shit out of luck.
Well, it's already Thursday night. I think you'll be good.
I hope so.
I don't know. Anyway, you ready to talk about games?
Let's talk about games.
There's only a couple to take care of this week, and then I think Tim's going to be joining us at the very end. I don't know yet because I didn't record it yet.
Yeah.
Usually I record that stuff and then segue into it, but it's all a mystery this week because he's watching Endgame.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Things happen. Possibly explosions. I won't confirm or deny explosions, but pretty good.
I hate to spoil it for anybody, but I have it on good authority that there are comic book characters in this movie.
What?
Oh my God. You heard it here first. Heard it here first.
Oh my God, I should have seen it coming.
We're bringing you the important news now.
Anyway, first game to talk about this week. This is just a preview of the game Warhammer Chaos Bane, developed by Echo Software, published by Big Ben Interactive. This one is releasing June 4th on Xbox, PC, and PS4 for $49.99. In a world ravaged by war and dominated by magic, you must rise up to face the chaos hordes. Playing solo or with up to 4 players in local or online co-op, choose a hero from 4 character classes and prepare for epic battles wielding some of the most powerful artifacts of the old world. I can't say old. Cole, tell us about Chaos Bane.
So this is a Warhammer universe dungeon crawler, essentially. It's incredibly gorgeous. And detailed to a point that will absolutely blow your mind. Like there is not a pebble out of place in this game. And you could easily get fucked up just because you're sitting there staring at the spider webs. You're like, wow, look at the way the light bounces around the candles. And it's just, it's incredible. The attention to detail the game is worth the attention to detail on its own, basically. At least from a beta preview perspective, but for actual gameplay, I don't know if it's just because it was beta. It was a little on the one-sided side. It was just not a whole lot. Like you go in, you smash through some enemies, you get a chest, you come out, you go in into a dungeon, smash some enemies, come out. There wasn't a whole lot to mix things up, and it got monotonous. You know, after a few dungeons, you're like, okay, well, is there anything else? Oh, sometimes you talk to a soldier? Okay.
Well, I'm assuming that they're going to be holding, like, the story chunks and stuff for when the game actually comes out. I think they're more testing the mechanics.
Yeah, I am definitely hoping that that's a situation, because if it's literally just go and spam A, occasionally hit X or B. it needs a little something else to carry it.
Yeah. Well, as a Diablo fan, I wouldn't mind just holding A and murdering shit. I've been looking for a game like that for a while.
You know what surprised me though, speaking of just like holding A and killing shit, I played as there were 4 classes available. 2 were very standard issue tanky kind of characters, very assault heavy. The 3rd was a dwarf character, and then the 4th was an elf. And I picked the elf because it was the only female character. And typically in a game like this, if you're a female and you're an elf or a mage, you're destined to be some kind of support character.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised. That was not the case this time around. I was like a more long range character. I had a bow as an elf. But I wasn't in a position to where playing by myself with a ranged weapon was a detriment. I still did plenty enough damage that I could get completely swarmed and still fight my way out of it. One of my favorite things about it was as I leveled up, you obviously, being an RPG type game, you get different abilities as you level up. And later on, it got to a point where Yeah, I was being swarmed by these giant monsters, but so what? I would press B and knives would spin around me.
Sweet.
Fuck you, swarm me. Or I could press X and actually throw out a tree seed, and a tree would go, a very Groot looking tree would just come up and smash the fuck out of everything for me.
Sweet.
So even though I wasn't meant to be like a hardcore in the middle of an assault player, I could still manage it. And that was exciting because I don't get to normally play like that in these kind of dungeon crawlers. So I really enjoyed that aspect.
Nice.
Yeah.
So it's shaping up to look pretty good so far.
It's got a bright future. I do think it's kind of easy to lose yourself in the story because it's so long. And the story is often presented to you in like these long cutscene chunks that are like kind of like still sketches with, you know, minor movement or whatever here or there. And the character kind of just drones on telling the story. And then you get back to your character and you're like, I think I dozed off and I don't remember what I'm doing or why. And it's not that it's not interesting. It's just that there's so much to it and it's so involved and there's so much lore and detail and everything that it can be a little hard to keep up with it all. Yeah.
Do you know if the beta that we were provided, did it start at the beginning of the game or was it like a chunk somewhere in the middle, did it seem?
If that was not the beginning, I am fucking surprised.
Okay.
It definitely seemed like a beginning.
All right. Well, again, I didn't play it. We only unfortunately got the one code for it. So I am very jealous that you covered it.
Because I did start, I mean, I can't imagine that they would start you as level one in the middle of something. Like, there may be a prologue or something, but that would seem odd given the bit of the story that I got.
Yeah.
So it was, I'm fairly confident saying it was the beginning.
All right.
Yeah.
So overall, this is worth keeping our eyes on, huh?
Yeah, I definitely say watch and see what it shapes up to be.
Cool. And hopefully we will have a full review later in the year. June 4th is so far away for this one, but I am excited for it. I know they have like a Magnus edition or something online that you could pre-order that I'm probably going to try begging Ashley for. Like $90 comes with like a leather bound book and shit like that. So I'll beg. I'll put my begging shoes on.
Like offer to take out the trash every night for a week without being yelled at. Because I'd cave to David if he was just like took out the trash without me saying 74 times, hey, take out the trash.
I'll offer to do the cat litter, which for me is really tough because of my back.
Oh, yeah.
So that's when it gets serious, when I offer to do cat litter for something.
Oh, damn. You need an automatic litter box.
Dark Mika, I heard a girl's name in Leatherbound. You heard Magnus Edition. That is not a girl's name. I don't even know if it's Magnus Edition.
It could be a girl's name. It's 2019. We can name whatever we want.
Now I'm looking it up because I forget what the name of the edition is.
No time.
It is the Magnus Edition. I was right.
No time.
Holy shit. No time dropping 300 biddies. Norg, take it away.
Dropping bits all over your pathetic face.
Thank you, George.
It never gets old.
Yeah, there is the standard edition of the game's $49.99. They have a digital deluxe for $54.99 and a Magnus edition digital for $69.99. And then, of course, a physical Magnus edition, which comes with the other goodies. I'm excited for Chaos Bane. I really am.
It really was fantastic.
And you're just getting me more excited for it.
Yay! But that's good because we've played quite a few of these Warhammer series games. And I definitely feel like this is the first time I've jumped into one and it's like been easy to pick up, even though the story was a little convoluted and kind of hard for me to follow. That's my own problem because I have brain fog. That's not necessarily a game issue as so much as like I'm going senile issue.
Hey, whatever works.
I was really surprised at how easy it was for me to get into it, not feel overwhelmed by it, and just enjoy it. and get to play a type of character that's not readily available for my playstyle.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Well, next game to talk about is called God's Trigger, developed by One More Level, published by Techland Publishing, released April 18th on Xbox, PS4, and PC for $14.99. When an angel and a demon team up to kill their way into heaven and stop the apocalypse, bullets will fly and blood will be shed. Play solo or with a friend and burst through a room in a matter of seconds, killing enemies with a bucket load of weapons, special abilities, and melee options in a show of blood and explosions. Cole, tell us about God's Trigger.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right, then. $15, what do you say?
I feel like I have to point out that I'm looking at my review notes, and I wrote down isometric opt-down because clearly I was drunk while I was doing this.
Oh, God.
And I don't even drink.
Nice.
I don't know how I did that, but it's an isometric opt-down twin stick shooter. Where your players control Harry the Angel and Judy the Demon. Harry's fallen to Earth, and he needs to take out the four horsemen of the apocalypse for reasons, and apparently our lady demon just wants to tag along for shits and giggles. There's not a whole lot of good reason for her to be there. She just does it.
Hey,
and that's
not?
Okay. Yeah. Like, it still provides a really interesting dynamic to the characters because they each have their own strengths and weaknesses that they bring to your gameplay. Harry, for example, can go invisible, and therefore he can get around lasers and things that would be problematic. Whereas your demon lady can possess enemies and, like, shoot the other enemies to clear out a room before you even have to get into it. I'll tell you the first thing that this reminds me of is Mr. Shifty.
I thought you were going to say Hotline Miami.
That's what everybody else says, but I haven't played Hotline Miami.
Oh, so. Well, that explains it, because when Mr. Shifty came out, everyone's like, oh, it reminds me of Hotline Miami.
And so I'm sitting there going, but I haven't played that. I can't make that comparison. But I have seen a lot more of Mr. Shifty, and so I'm like, oh, you play like that. So it's definitely that kind of play style where you have your level is laid out and you want to get from one end of it to the other, basically, while clearing the baddies out of the rooms. But you want to approach it in such a way that you're using stealth and, you know, tactical gameplay to your advantage. You want to, you know, walk up to a room and take a second and look around it and think, okay, if I just go busting down the door and slicing everybody with my angel sword, I'm probably going to get dead. And everybody dies in one hit, but that means you die in one hit too.
Yeah.
So you can't just, like, go busting into a room where there's 20 enemies and be like, karate chop, bitches, here I am. You have to think about it. You have to go, okay, well, maybe I can possess this enemy, pop those two, and then bust in the door and take out the third. And you have to be a little more thoughtful and careful and calculated with it. This is one of those games where when you first start to play it, the tutorial is extremely beneficial in that it tells you all of the core mechanics, and then it tells you absolutely no way whatsoever how to actually use those in the game. Like, it tells you the right buttons, it forces you to do it, but then when it comes to actually comboing these up and thinking about it, that's just trial and error. You just have to get in there and die trying.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a shame, because each level is scored based on whether or not you die.
And how many times.
Yeah, when it pops up and you've died 18 times, you're like, son of a bitch. I will say it's very liberal with the checkpoints, though, and thank God for it.
Yeah, it is.
Because I died a lot.
I was going to say it's tough, but at least they're forgiving with checkpoints. At least early in the game, it's pretty forgiving.
Yeah, I was really surprised at how easy it was for me to get through it, even though I was dying a lot. Like, it's a game that realizes that you're on a learning curve in the beginning. And you can go back and do that shit again and get a better score later, but good luck. I don't know how to get anything above a B, and I've worked my ass off on this game.
Damn.
I'm just like, why can't I do any better than this?
Yeah, I've only gotten Bs as well.
I don't know. I'm assuming not dying 20 times helps.
I would imagine so. So we got to get good scrub.
Yeah, no. I think I'll just have to accept where I am. There are extra weapons that you can learn to use and stuff in the game. And I think that might be part of my problem is because I'm just like, never mind, got a sword, will slash. And I will go out of my way to find the most effective way to just karate chop everybody with the sword and hope for the best. So that's probably my problem. There are extra like little objectives in the Carnage said the melee weapon sucks. I will fight you. I mean, it's one hit kill with whatever you use, but
true.
Just using like the pistols and the other ranged weapons and stuff, it feels like cheap because it's just stand around a corner and wait for them to funnel to you. Which is probably what Carnage did to get one achievement.
And then quit.
Play it. Yeah.
Hit it and quit.
Yeah.
The Carnage way.
But I liked the challenge of actually trying to use the ability. He's got two achievements. It's Christmas. It's an Easter miracle. What holiday was recently?
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it was an incredibly well executed game. I know everybody said with Mr. Shifty, like at the end where there were a lot of enemies on the screen, it started to get laggy as fuck. I actually had quite a few levels where there were a shit ton of enemies, and I didn't have any problems with God's Trigger whatsoever. It played flawlessly. It does feel a little slow at times with the input. Like, there were a couple of times where I was like, I know I hit that button and nothing happened. But as long as you don't go busting through a wall and then have that happen, you're okay. I'm going to pretend that that's also my excuse for why I don't have any higher than Bs. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Hey, whatever works for you. But overall, $15 on God's Trigger. What do you think of it?
I give this a buy it. I had an absolute blast with it. I thought it was challenging. It's really well made. I love the art style.
Yeah,
the
it story, is stylish as hell.
Yeah, the story, it serves its purpose. It's okay. But the dialogue is a little flat at times. But the game itself is just so much fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, well, next game to talk about is some DLC for Overcooked 2 called Campfire Cookoff, developed by Ghost Town Games, published by Team 17, released April 18th for Overcooked 2 for $5.99, or as part of the season pass for $19.99. Gather around the campfire for S'more Overcooked 2. Ha! Ha! It's time for some camping capers as you take a trek through the forests of the Onion Kingdom. Cole, tell us about Campfire Cookoff.
I love Overcooked.
I know you love Overcooked. That's why when this came in, I didn't think of anybody else but you.
I really do. I love to play it. I actually played the entire game co-op with number one. And I made Stu to buy it, and I've been trying to drag him through it cooperatively, and he's not good. And so one of the best perks about Overcooked is that it's one of those games where if one person has the DLC, you can drag your friends into your game and they don't need the DLC to play along with you.
Oh, that is awesome. You should have asked me to play. I would have jumped in with you if that's
you're
the
more
case.
Than what. It's not like me and number one are going to be working on it all this weekend trying to get those 3 stars. So come along. We can use extra hands.
Nice.
Especially if Stude is with us because he just stands there and doesn't know what to do.
Hey, I do the same thing.
Fuck, at least put out a far or something, because there will be fars. And there will be fars because for the campfire fars. DLC, you have to actually like chop wood and chop marshmallows and keep the fires going. Ooh. So that you can toast your marshmallows and make s'mores. But you also got to make breakfast foods for the first time. We've made pancakes and things. I think crepes were in the original base game as well. Definitely pancakes. Not crepes, waffles. I'm sorry. I think there's waffles. Fuck, I don't know. It's been a long time. Anyway.
It's been a week.
But no, like since I played the base game.
Oh.
Yeah. But anyway, we have new breakfast foods, and you have to actually make like bacon and eggs. And you have to make sausage and beans and things like that. And so it can get really complicated. But it's absolutely fantastic. The levels are really well designed. There's some challenge added to them. Oh my god, fuck the portal levels. I don't know who's responsible for those, but please no. You have to actually already be pretty decent at Overcooked if you're gonna go for any more than just one star in this DLC. It's definitely something that's better to wait for until you've mastered the game itself before you jump into this. There is no learning curve here. The levels are challenging, and even as good as Man Number One are at it, we don't have a single 3-star level yet.
Oh shit.
I'm blaming Studa. Especially because after Number One went to bed, me and Suda replayed some of the levels, and we couldn't even get 1 star, even though we had 2 stars with Number One there to help. So
you got progressively worse.
Ah, it's definitely Suda's fault. But it was so fun, even when we weren't doing well. And I really need to take advantage of that new practice mode. Because there's a practice mode now where you can just go in and have unlimited number of orders and no time constraint.
Hmm.
And you're not trying to like get a set goal in the score. So like you can work on your communication. And that's definitely something that you need to put to use with this new DLC. Because that's
a cool addition.
Yeah, you definitely need to be able to communicate like, it's one thing to say, oh, I need you to chop some marshmallows here and throw them at somebody. But it's another one. It's like, no, I need you to chop firewood for 3 of the fires because only number 4 is good because you keep accidentally throwing the wood onto number 4.
Onto That's number 4 or number fire?
Far. You know, I like how you
enunciated fire more for those last two.
I've been trying, but I'm so tired that it's hard to do. And every time I've said it far and I've stumbled, I've just been like, fuck, in my head. It's been a long day, guys.
But like you've been in the ER for half the day or something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Anyway, I love the new additions for the new recipes. The new Kevin levels will absolutely make you want to sit down and cry. Just like we saw with Surf and Turf, the levels and the areas that the levels are contained in, there's not as many of them as there are in the base game. I think with the base game, if I remember correctly, you had six levels per area. With the DLC, you only have 4 before you move on. So there aren't as many. It is a little easier to fully get the 3 stars. It does mean, though, that you're in a position because you have to have a certain number of stars in order to unlock the next level. So you could easily beat all the levels in area 1, go to area 2, and not be able to progress until you go back and get enough stars from area 1. So that was definitely our biggest itch, especially because Suda was bad. and that we would be like, fine, fuck it, whatever, we beat it, let's go, and then not be able to go, and we'd have to back up and do it some more. But it was just so incredibly well done, even as challenging as it was. I just think it's not something you want to go into if you aren't already familiar with how to play and know how to play well.
Yeah. Then $6 on this DLC, what do you say?
I did give it a buy it. I had so much fun. Even when we were doing poorly, even when we couldn't beat a level, we were still just giggling and it was a good time. And, you know, we burned down a Kevin level. That's skill.
Nice.
There wasn't even any fire to be had in that level. We were steaming dumplings. I don't know how they caught fire, but we burned the whole kitchen down.
I'm so proud of you.
It was really a special skill all on its own. And then we're all like running back and forth because there were portals and we couldn't even figure out how to get to the portal to get to the kitchen where the shit was on fire. And so we just had to sit and watch all of our hard work burn.
That's amazing.
That's overcooked for you right there. That is overcooked yeah. in a nutshell.
Well, here's the other question for you. $6 for this DLC. This is the first paid DLC, right?
Right. And no, Surf and Turf was paid, I believe.
Was it part of the season pass?
It was not part of the season pass. But I do believe it was paid because I reviewed it for you and you gave me a code for it.
Yeah, well, with this being part of the season pass, do you think it's worth dropping the $20 on the season pass?
Easily.
I wasn't even finished asking.
I know. Okay. Well, because there's going to be three more.
Yeah.
So that you're saving. If you know that you like Overcooked, if you know you're going to have somebody, even if they don't have the season pass, if you just got one friend or two or three friends who have the base game and you like, somebody's got to buy the season pass for us. Do it. Absolutely. Buy the whole season pass. Don't just like waste your money picking it a la carte, because it's if Surf and Turf and the Campfire DLC are any indication of what the other three are going to be, you will not be disappointed.
Cool. You answered my question.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you got one more game to talk about tonight. That is called Purple Chicken Spaceman, developed and published by Homemade Games, releasing May 3rd on Xbox One for $9.99. Earth is under attack in this quirky shoot 'em up, and only one should be flightless bird. Ugh. I can't talk. And only one should be, if I feel like they need commas in this sentence, because it's just an odd sentence. And only one should be flightless and oddly colored fowl stands between our world and utter destruction. Join Purple Chicken as he bravely dons his fishbowl space helmet and explanation redacted to space to liberate the galaxy and stop the alien invasion force before it's too late. Do you have what it takes? Are you chicken enough? Cole, tell us about Purple Chicken Spaceman, Purple Chicken Spaceman, Purple Chicken
Spaceman. That song? Is that an actual song? Oh, my God.
That's the song in the game. In the.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, you paid attention. From Perry Grip of Nerf Herder.
Oh, my God.
It is amazing. I love the song so much. Purple Chicken Spaceman, Purple Chicken Spaceman.
You know what? Because I did turn the volume down after a little bit. I was like, oh, okay. Wink, 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 wink.
You and you're listening to Incubus while playing games.
It's been a long day, and sometimes you need a little bit of Incubus in your life. I'm still choking down the whole should be flightless. Chickens aren't flightless.
Should be flightless.
Well, they're only flatless if you clip their wings. I'm going to have to ask about that when we do this interview. They're not flightless. Anyway, and the chicken in this game isn't flightless because he flies through space and all kinds of different situations.
Yeah, he flies, but he should be flightless. So he should normally not be able to fly, but in this game he is. And maybe it's because he's oddly colored. I don't know if they're clipped. These are questions for the developer that we will have next week on the show.
I'll have to. Where's my note pen?
The wings clipped?
Are the chicken's wings? I'm writing this shit down. Are the purple chicken's wings clipped? Because they're so rude. But no, they actually can fly. I can say that as a chicken aficionado. and you will fly for this game because it is a side-scrolling 2D shmup. The story is laid out in some kind of like slides in the beginning, where basically your little purple chicken dude is dreaming and he wakes up to find that aliens have invaded, and well, now you gotta go kill them. And before you know it, you're shooting so much weird shit.
So much weird shit.
It just devolves into chaos. Like, you think that starting off with a little purple chicken with a fishbowl on his head is already kind of weird. And it just, there's just no limit to how weird this game gets.
There's games that we jokingly ask the developers, what were you on when you came up with this?
Oh my God.
We're going to ask that next week.
So many times. But I'm going to fuss for a second.
Okay.
Because the game is a little deceptive.
In what way?
It looks childish, and it looks a little silly, and it looks deceptively easy. But it's ungodly hard and unforgiving.
Yes.
And I was absolutely gobsmacked by that. I'm like, why are you so hard, though? And I know that shmups in and of themselves can be difficult, but I play a lot of them. And in general, I tend to think I'm pretty good at them. I beat most of them to some extent or another. Maybe not on like super hard mode, but
yeah.
I can hack it. I can roll with a shmup and I can beat it. And this one, I'm just like, I'm dying constantly. And yeah,
this is a brutal shmup. I wish that there was some kind of visible hitbox, or at least an option to have a visible hitbox, because I've seen bullets pass through parts of my body before, and yeah. I've seen bullets multiple times kill me through other parts of my body, and I can't tell what is able to be passed through and what is definite hitbox, and it would be nice to have some kind of visual indicator to let me know, all right, avoid the bullets in this section.
Yeah. Enemy hitboxes are incredibly wonky too, especially with the bosses.
Oh God, yeah. That cat boss.
I do not know where to hit you at. And so then you just die. Like, you better hope you've got 742 shields saved up before you get to a boss, because you do not know where you're going to hit them.
Yeah. And you won't get any shields, by the way, because you will always get the item that makes your controls flip. Always.
There's an achievement for successfully avoiding it. And the amusing thing here is that despite how hard this game is, like, initially it throws achievements at you like they're candy at a parade.
Yeah.
There's even one for just turning the vibration off.
I didn't know about that one.
I did it on accident. I was just like flipping through because I was looking. I was like, okay, well, I need to make sure there's no sensitivity settings, because I always look for sensitivity settings. And as I was just scrolling through the settings looking for something like that, it just accidentally flips it over because, you know, my hands shake. And so it flips the vibration off, and I flipped it back on immediately without thinking about it. Doo-doo, there's the achievement. Turn nice. Off the shakes. And I was like,
turn off the shakes.
Oh. Okay, then. So, yeah, so go get you a quick and easy one there.
I did not know about that achievement, so.
I don't know how anybody would have without accidentally doing it. And there's other ones, like I said, just missing the I forget what the name of it is. It starts with a double. It's like the wobbly something. Anyway, the power down that makes you go the opposite direction of what you're trying to do. And then there are power ups, and you can get them. The power up, the little rocket ship with the power ups in it, like, it cycles through what they are.
Yeah.
So you just got to be careful not to throw an egg at it. Which leads me to the other question, because we keep calling this little purple chicken spaceman. And, like, it's very indicative that this little purple chicken is a dude, but he's throwing eggs and roosters can't lay eggs.
Now you're just so nitpicking.
Many questions. No, I remember playing, and I'm like, well, wait a second. I have questions. I need answers. Like, I'm going to ask so many questions next
time. I'm guessing Purple Chicken Space Woman didn't make as good of a song.
They could have called it a Purple Chicken Space Hen.
True.
See?
Awesome Prime, they were high when they made it. I hope so. It is such a fucking weird game, and I love it.
Chicken. I'm okay with that. We don't assume gender on this podcast, so it could be a gender fluid chicken.
Purple chicken space thing, purple chicken space thing.
But it's I just wish so much of the game wasn't locked away behind it being so ridiculously hard.
I agree. I think the game is a lot of fun. It is quirky. It is weird. It is everything I love about odd games, mm-hmm. but the difficulty, because the game was only made by two people, I want to think that this is one of those cases where they just got so used to the game, they didn't realize how hard they made it.
Yeah. And they could give me an emo where the hitboxes are visible.
The plus side is we're reviewing this a week before it comes out, so there's still time for them to do some balancing and possibly push out a day one update that either, you know, adds a visible hitbox or adds Pussy Crybaby easy mode or just makes it a little more welcoming. Because when the first stage is kicking your ass, I spent over an mm-hmm. hour on the first stage.
I spent more than that.
It's nuts how difficult the game is, but it is so fun that I want to recommend people to check it out. And then part of me is like, if you're not a fan of hard games, you're going to want to avoid it.
Yeah. Because you're not going to get to see any of it.
Yeah.
And that's a shame because it's just so wonky and so goofy that you want to share it with people, but it's hard to do if they're not going to get their money and time's worth because they can't get past it.
Yeah. And I want to hear more of the soundtrack, so
yeah.
Make it a bit more approachable, guys. We'll bring up on the show next week, I'm sure.
I do definitely think it is possible that it's a case of they just got used to playing it and knew how to beat it.
Yeah.
That they didn't realize it wasn't accessible for people, old asses like us that aren't as responsive.
Well, overall, $10 on it. What do you say?
I did give it a try. It is fun. It's just no going into it that it's hard as balls.
Yes. So. I agree with you. Good call.
Yay.
Well, that is it for you. I don't know if you're going to be part of this stuff with Tim or not. I don't know.
Well, I'll make a conscious effort to be a part of it.
Just hold your breath now and exhale when you're back.
Holding breath.
No, I forgot to ask. What's your pick of the week?
Overcooked 2 DLC.
You can exhale. Oh, Lord. So Overcooked 2 Campfire Cook-Off is your pick of the week.
Yeah, easily. Awesome. But I would have to say, if I couldn't pick a DLC, if I had to pick a full-fledged new game, it would probably be God's Trigger.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to move on to Tim. So do you have any final words just in case you're not here for it?
No, but I have to laugh because Suda said in the chat that she would about Overcooked, I'm assuming. Salty ass.
All right. And finally tonight, we're going to end the show with Tim Ekibis. Tim, how are you doing?
Great. Wonderful. I'm not tired at all.
No? So you're exhausted.
I saw Endgame last night and I got out of the movie about 11 and then I had to get gas and then I was starving because I hadn't eaten since like 12:30. So I had to grab some food. And then by the time I got home and ate and like I'm crawling into bed at like 12:30 and then I couldn't sleep because I was just thinking about the movie.
Was it that good that you're still thinking about it?
It is that good. And there's a lot to process. You know, it's the finale of a 20 movie series. So it's a lot to take in. A lot happens. Obviously, I'm not going to say anything about it because people are. Yeah, I mean, it's been showings have been sold out. You know, if you didn't get tickets a few weeks ago, apparently it's been difficult to find tickets necessarily that fit your schedule. So.
As amazed are we have like a little $5 local theater that's showing it. And I drove by today. They start at 7:00. It wasn't even 6:00 and there was a line outside.
Sure. Yeah.
I have never seen a line at our local movie theater before.
Yeah, it's bananas. Like some AMC's running for 72 hours straight this weekend, just showing it. They're doing like like AMC alone is doing like 58,000 showings.
Jesus.
Of it. Yeah. Of the movie.
Aren't they also doing like a 22 movie marathon?
Yeah, they did a 50 some hour marathon of movies. So you could just watch all of them in a row, which why do you
hate yourself?
Why would anyone do that? And like, who are these people and where did they get that time? Like, come on. Like, what? Like, how is that? I mean, I love the Marvel movies, but, and I'm definitely like, I'm going to probably to stop and pick up a couple of the Blu-rays that I don't have tomorrow, just because I want to rewatch some of the older ones. But man, it's a lot of time to spend in the theater. I mean, 3 hours was a lot of time to spend in the theater. Like I had to so during Infinity War, to take you back last year, I had to pee through the entire movie and it was excruciating. And I was like, I'm not making that mistake again. So before I left the house, I chugged a bunch of water. So that way when I got to the theater, I knew I'd be able to pee right before going into the showing. And I did, and everything was good. Had to pee a little bit towards the end, but that it was manageable. And yeah, it was
just
great.
Just bring an empty bottle with you.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, it would have been hard to pull that one off. There was no empty seats in that theater and I was betwixt two ladies. So
betwixt. Look at that word.
Yeah. Neither of them. It's funny. Cause usually, I was going by myself, which is how I have to see movies when I have a child and no local child care. Often I see movies by myself, and I wasn't going to drag a 4-year-old to a 3-hour showing of a movie where people want to enjoy it.
That is smart.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's like, there was like, you know, one couple on one side, one couple on the other side, and surprisingly, both the dudes let their ladies sit next to me, which never happens. Usually when like they're walking down, like I'll see the guy be like, oh no, I'll move. I'm going to sit next to that scary looking dude there. So he doesn't molest you next to me.
That hooligan.
Yeah, that hooligan. And the guy 2 seats to the right of me, he was an asshole who was very vocal about his dislike of Captain Marvel. So he's probably a shitty person in more ways than one.
I'll never forget our friend Ian was on the show last year when Infinity War came out, and he hadn't seen it yet. And he was just doing like joke spoilers through the entire show.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, he nailed one by saying Spider-Man dies.
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah.
Because, like, he had another movie coming out that was already announced, so no one really expected that to happen.
Yeah.
But he's back. He's better.
He's fine. Well, yeah, that was a weird thing they had. It's like, yeah, Spider-Man Far From Home, it's in the continuity after Infinity War, and Spider-Man's alive, so something happens, right?
Yeah, kind of spoils that.
Something happened. Well, you know, it's still, people don't know what exactly happened or how exactly it was going to go down. So,
but something happened.
Yeah, it goes down in a more exciting way than I would have expected. But I'm not going to talk about it. That. This is not a spoiler cast.
No, it is not a spoiler cast. This is a video game podcast, so we should probably talk about some games, huh?
Oh yeah, I guess. I guess.
They might as well.
Sent us some codes to review games, so. Suppose I should talk about them.
Yeah, we got two more games to talk about tonight. The first one is called SteamWorld Quest, developed by Image Inform Games, published by Thunderful Publishing, released April 25th on the Switch for $24.99. SteamWorld Quest is the role-playing card game you've been waiting for. Lead a party of aspiring heroes through a hand-drawn world and build, craft, and upgrade your party's decks in order to stop an ancient menace. Tim, tell us about SteamWorld Quest.
Hey, man, SteamWorld, yeah! Woo!
New SteamWorld. I'm excited. I'm excited to hear about this game because this one's been on my radar for a while.
Everyone loves SteamWorld games, man. They're so cool. And it's so awesome that they're not all the same thing, you know?
Oh, I know.
That's like the coolest thing is how they jump between genres for this. So kind of the setup for this, if I'm not mistaken, is what I recognize as being like your first mate from SteamWorld Heist appears to be telling a story to a child. And that is the story that is this game. If it's not specifically that character, but either way, that's the framing device, is that it's freaking Neverending Story or whatever. Princess Bride.
I still wish SteamWorld Heist would be on Xbox. I'm so bummed that that's not there.
That is a bummer. But yeah, it's someone telling an old fantasy tale to a young robot. But that's, it's still amazing. All that, you know, that steam robot goodness, and it has like all that personality and style you've come to expect from these games at this point, and just like the way the world looks and the characters look and just how everything works. It's neat. I just really like the way these guys do business in general. Like they have a cool style, a cool world, or a universe, I guess I should say, a cool universe, and they come up with neat mechanics to put into their games. And man, this game has some great art to it. Like, it looks really good. It looks good handheld, but like when you put it up on the, you know, on the screen, like it really looks even better up there. Like, you can see more detail to the art that really comes out. So that might actually be the way to play it. Like, usually I pretty much play my Switch in handheld mode just for convenience and situation's sake. But yeah, I popped it up on the TV for a while and I was like, man, like, just look at that art. It looks so good.
Game.
It looks, I mean, it looks not, you know, far removed from a Vanillaware game, you know, and
wow,
those games look fantastic. Just like the level of animation and crispness to their 2D art. Like, that's kind of the level we're approaching here with SteamWorld Quest, which is great. I mean, that's pretty top tier art.
That is high praise.
Yeah. It's a good looking game, no doubt. Whew. So yeah, you have your party of fantasy adventurers who were kind of get caught up in this quest. Kind of the story and premise are not anything too crazy from what you've come to expect from fantasy RPGs past. Like, the characters are fun and quirky and have some fun dialogue and jokes with each other. That kind of carry what's otherwise a pretty straightforward story. What really makes the game sing though, or really makes it stand out is the card-based battle system. So the way it works is each character gets 8 cards. You assign 8 cards to their deck. And usually you have, like, as it starts out, you have 2. Normally you have 3 people in your party, and you get a few extra party members, but you can only have 3 active at a time. So each character's 8 cards. That makes, like, your deck for battle. So you throw it all together, 24 cards, right? You will have, like, basic actions, which can take the form of just like your basic, you know, attack. It could be like a simple barrier spell. It could be another kind of buff, just a simple thing. And what those cards will do is they'll give you cogs, which are basically like your MP. So say on a turn you use like 3 of those basic attacks. So then the next turn you'll have 3 of these cogs built up, and you can build up like 10, 12 of them, something like that. I don't know what the exact number is. And then you have other cards that when played, they will use those cogs, and those are usually stronger abilities, right? Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about it one day, and it actually reminded me a little bit of Chrono Cross. Chrono Cross, anybody?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody over there?
I like Trigger Cross,
and who doesn't? But Cross had a phenomenal battle system where, like, you go in with your characters and your basic attacks would, like, build up their magic meter. And the more magic you built up, you could use higher level spells. So there was kind of this dynamic, like, okay, I'm going to build up this much. I have to do this many basic attacks, and then I can pull off a spell or something like that. And then that's really reductive, but that's the way it worked. And so that works almost a little bit like that, and that your basic attacks will build up so you can use stronger attacks later. Where things start to get, like, really cool and intricate is how the cards will interplay with one another. In that, if you have a character and they do 3 actions in a turn, so say they do 2 basic attacks that builds up 2 cogs, and then they do a special attack that uses 2 cogs, those 2 cogs, then they use all the attacks for the turn, and they'll get like a bonus attack on the end of it. So there's benefit to like trying to manage your hand. So like, okay, you know, sometimes you're going to play like 2 cards from this person, 1 from this person, 1 from each character, whatever. You only get to play 3 cards a turn.
Yeah.
But for the most part, what I was trying to do is like use 3 from a particular character to get that extra bonus effect. But also there's some cards that incentivize you using different characters like in concert, because they'll have combo effects. So a card will be like, okay, if my fighter went in and did an attack right before this card, then this card gets a bonus effect when it's played.
That's cool.
It is cool. There's a lot going on. So like, it'll deal you out. So you have your deck of 24 cards. It deals you out 6, I think, is the standard. You can mulligan. It might be 8. I can't remember. Because sometimes there's cards that give you like a bonus draw too, so I kind of lose track. So either way, you get a set deal. You can mulligan two cards. Like if there's like, okay, well, this card takes too many cogs and I'm not going to be able to use that this turn, I'm going to throw that back. Or just like, okay, this character, I only have one card from this character, I'm going to throw that back to try to fill in a combo for another character. Or you want to try to draw for like a heal that you might need. So you might throw cards back to do that. And it's really neat. Like it works really well. It's a lot of fun to use. It's just a really cool battle system. And they give you like a lot of cards to play around with that do different effects. Like different characters, obviously they have their kind of their different specialties. You have like a caster, you have a fighter, you have kind of like a cleric, you get you know, your nimble fast guy, you get some, you know, this crew, these guys that's like, you know, a mix of like darker magic and like status effects, along with physical attacks. So they kind of have like each character has their own specialization, basically. So each character, even, you know, in on themselves, you can kind of spec their deck in a certain way. Like if enemies in an area are more vulnerable to fire attacks, then it's like, okay, well, my fighter has some fire moves. I'm going to overload the caster's deck with fire spells, to get through things quicker. Stuff like that. But you'll find cards in chests. There's a shop where you can craft more cards. And you can just upgrade cards, just straight up, just make some of them better. Like if there's some that you use, a lot, you can just straight upgrade them. I do wish like there was some way to filter your collection. What I mean is like, you know, when it presents you the cards that you have in your inventory, it like presents them by character, which makes sense. You want to see what cards a character has so you can manage their deck. Mm-hmm. But like, sometimes I lose track of it's just like, there's a lot of information to take in when you're going through like, you know, the description on each card. It would be easy. It would help me if it's like, okay, I just want to search for fire attacks so I can see what fire attacks I have across. Just filter it out so I can see what fire-based things I have across, like, all five of my characters and just see, like, how can I make them synergize with another? Or go through, like, there was one card I was using, I didn't even realize it had a combo effect on it. It just popped off in battle. I was like, oh, right, like, combo effects. Like, it was something that I'd kind of forgotten about because it's only on, like, a handful of cards and I wasn't really using it too much. But I'm just like, well, man, like, I wish I could just search for combo cards, or I could search for heals, just see what healing options I have, or status effects. That would be really, really, really helpful to be able to see synergies between different characters' decks rather than just kind of having to like shuffle through, look at descriptions, look at the next character. It might help you like, you know, find strategies that you might not just, you know, come to your brain naturally. As someone who plays a lot of Hearthstone, I do a lot of filtering my collection to kind of see what's out there. And then I'll be like, oh shit, that's right. Yeah, this thing. And also like, it feels like the game doesn't give you enough resources sometimes, just like, you know, in terms of gold, and like you'll find crafting materials which you use to craft more cards. Like I had a section in the middle of the game where I just could not get this one kind of crafting material to drop to save my goddamn life, and all I wanted was like, I just needed like 10 pieces of it so I could craft the damn group heal spell that my cleric had, but it was just like, just not happening. And they let you go back and replay earlier chapters, to, you know, you can grind experience, grind materials, and, you know, look for chests that you miss. It gives you a percentage of how many chests, you found in a particular chapter, which is all good. But it's just like, when I was trying to find this one particular material, I was just like, I don't know. I had a bunch in the beginning of the game. I'm not sure what enemy I was killing for it. I don't know where to go. I guess I'll just keep pushing forward and hopefully I'll start to find some enemies that drop it more. And I did, but it was just like, man, like, what the heck? You know, there's all these cards that I have to craft. And usually when I hit a shop, I can only pick like a handful, like two or three to craft just between my gold, cause they cost gold on top of the crafting materials. I just think, especially for when you're crafting new cards using your deck, I think it would be nicer to have like a bit more to throw around, especially when you consider that the shop also sells items. And like, I'm barely buying like items and weapons, cause all my money is going into crafting cards for the most part. And occasionally it's like, okay, well, I'm going to buy some weapons too. So I know you can grind, but I feel like I could just give you a bit more stuff along the way to play around with, and it would just feel a bit better.
Yeah.
It's not a deal breaker by any means. Like the game, for the most part, is really well paced. Like, especially in like the first two thirds, like chapters aren't too long. Like you'll bust through them pretty quickly. And they usually take the form of just like, you know, you run around, you have to find a key item, or you're just fighting your way through the level. And then there's a boss. They always end at a boss. And then you move on to the next chapter. But then like kind of towards the end, things get a bit more grindy, which I guess as they should, but some levels just like, okay, well, there's all these guys and they have different weaknesses, and like just battles were dragging a bit more. And I was just kind of like, okay. It wasn't bad. Like I would never say the game strayed into being bad, but sometimes there was like a few chapters where I'm just like, I just wish.
Just get on with it.
I wish this would just get on with it. But most part, it's pretty fun. I mean, there's no random battles. That's always great, right? Battles. I will say another annoying thing is because you'll see like the enemies kind of, you know, wander around. You can walk up and like hit them with your sword or weapon to knock some damage off them at the beginning of the battle. Like, man, it feels like the hit detection on that is not very good. Like, you have to be not standing evenly with the enemy, but like maybe a little bit above or below them to actually hit them. Like, there was more often than not where I'd be like slashing at an enemy and I'm like, why aren't I getting the hit? Like, it just didn't feel good. I wish they'd like, you know, extend the hitbox on that like a little bit. So it's not perfect, but like it's a fun RPG to play. It's not overly long. It's probably like a dozen hours for most people, 10, 12 hours. Around there. I guess it depends on how much you go back and grind and do your, if you're going to go back and do your completionist shit, it's going to take you longer, but that's on you. But for me, about 10 to 12 hours is a great length for an RPG. Like the shorter the RPG, that's not a bad thing. And when it's only $25 anyways, that's a fine dollar to hour ratio in my opinion. But yeah, it's a fun game. It's another cool game, in the SteamWorld universe that uses some cool mechanics, and it was a lot of fun to play.
All right, then your overall verdict for $25?
Yeah, buy it. Dive right in, sirs. I feel like it's more like Heist. You know, that was kind of the other, I guess, quote unquote offshoot, if you want to say that, with Dig being your baseline SteamWorld game. I feel like this is more accessible and a lot easier to get into than Heist. Heist was a bit of a pain in the ass with just like the aiming that you had to do in that game. It was a bit tougher. But I feel like this is more accessible and the card based battle system is a lot of fun. I like it.
Awesome. Well, hopefully we will see this hit PlayStation and Xbox in the future. I'm not sure how long it's going to be exclusive to the Switch, but hopefully we see it more places.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll get out. Well, you know, I say that, but Heist is not.
Yeah, Xbox, so, Heist. So who knows? It'd be nice to see Heist on Xbox as well. So Image and Form, if you're listening.
Yeah, I mean, Dig 2 came out first on Switch as well, did it not? So I don't know if they have some kind of relationship they're building with Nintendo there.
Either that or it's tough making games and porting to other consoles is difficult, which is also a very realistic possibility.
Yeah, but, you know, where there's money, there's a way. I can't believe they can't get the whatever. It's besides the point.
Yeah, we don't know. Anyway, one final game to talk about tonight is called Hell is Other Demons, developed by Cuddle Monster Games, which is an incredible studio name.
Pretty good name.
Published by Kongregate, released April 18th on the Switch and on PC via cartridge for $9.99. It'll be available on Steam on May 20th. Hell is Other Demons is a juicy arcade shooter with bold color schemes and a heavy synthwave soundtrack. Tim, tell us about it.
Oh, geez, that was a faster than I thought. I'm like usually used for those to go on a bit. Hell is Other Demons is a stage-based arcadey shooter. You have a campaign mode, you have an arcade mode, and as I learned the wrong way, usually I dive into campaign modes first. I think you want to play the arcade mode some first before you dive into the campaign on this one.
And why is that?
Why is that? The main reason is when you play the arcade mode, so the way this game plays, I guess I should say, just like off the top. So, okay, you have your level. They're never any wider than the screen is, but they will be taller, a bit taller than the stage. So you have your guy with your gun. You can jump. You double jump by default at the start. There is a power-up that will let you triple jump. You can stomp enemies. If you stomp an enemy, it resets your jump. You can dash. And you shoot. that's the stuff you can do. But you have definitely have good mobility between the dashing and the double jump and being able to stomp on enemies' heads, which resets your jump. You can spend a lot of time in the air in this game, which it demands of you at some points on some levels where there's hazards along the bottom. So yeah, that's your, it's got a, monochromatic pixely graphical style. Think kind of like the way, you know, like a Luftrausers looked, something like that, where it's only like two tones of color on the screen, which I'm not sure necessarily, like, it looks good. But sometimes, like, I wish that some of the bullets and the hazards were a bit more distinct from everything else, your character in particular, just so that they would pop out more on the screen and be more identifiable, because there's like a lot of stuff that will get on the screen at some points. Yeah, it looks good. Like, it animates well. So yeah, you'll go into a stage and enemies will start to spawn in. Enemies spawn in waves. And as you're playing through the arcade mode, they will drop power-ups. Like different weapons and stuff. Well, they'll drop health. They'll drop refills for your ultimate. You have an ultimate. That was the thing I forgot when I was going through the moves. You have an ultimate ability and, they'll drop health, ultimate recharges, and then weapons. So the reason I say to play the specific reason I say to play through arcade mode first is because it lets you eventually, you know, playing through it a few times, you will start to see, the different weapons that are available in the game. So that way, when you're playing through campaign mode, you will know which ones you want to buy, rather than just kind of like, well, yeah, sure, this sounds good, and then blowing a bunch of currency on it. That is why I would say to play arcade mode first. And it's a more brisk, faster experience generally. Runs, well, I suck, I guess. It will take maybe less than 10 minutes if you suck like me, maybe 10, 15 minutes.
We've all been there.
Yeah, it'll take you through there's like a few different stage biomes, and it'll do like two stages in each biome. And you're just, you know, it's a straight score attack thing. In both modes, like, as you shoot enemies, they drop, bits. I actually don't know what the currency is. Whatever. There's a thing, number goes up. In arcade mode, it levels up your character. So whenever you level up, you get to pick a bonus, which might be just like, oh, I want this weapon power up, or it'll let you pick like your triple jump. It'll let you do more damage when you stomp enemies. There's a bunch of them here. I'm not going to list them all off. It can just give you some extra health. So that's like a cool thing to, I like the way the progression of how you power up in the arcade mode. It's fast and fun, and does feel like an old arcade game in that way. And also, as you're collecting bits over your runs, they will unlock more stuff. They unlock like different color schemes from you to choose from. They will unlock different characters for you to play through the arcade mode with. Yeah. So then there is the campaign. So the way the campaign plays out is it's more of like a map, like a little grid based map, and you'll kind of work your way like level to level. Like, one level will unlock a couple other levels, and this level will unlock this over here. And as you go, so each level will kind of have its own environment and like different enemy waves to it. Before you go into the level, you can pick your loadout, which will be like your weapon, your ultimate, and then like some passive abilities. But they like each thing you pick gives like a certain amount of like energy slots or whatever. When you start out, you only have four slots. So that's expandable, but still it's a thing where it's like, okay, I can't just equip literally everything that I have bought, right? So makes you sense. Might want to, yeah, it does make sense. So you might want to specialize, like, okay, well, this level, I need some more health, so I'll take the health boost, or I need to be in the air more, so I'm going to take the triple jump, or whatever. As you go through the map, there's shops, which let you buy, you know, more weapons, different ultimates to equip. And then they let you expand your energy slots and, purchase more passive abilities just to customize your loadout more. Kind of like I have two beefs with the campaign mode. Three beefs? Two beefs.
Two and a half?
Two beefs. One is that I feel like they need to give you more stuff. Like, after I kind of bought out the first shop, it was like a long way to grind out more currency to buy, like suddenly like prices just jumped like a lot. And I was just like, damn, geez, like, and some of these weapons, they're like very expensive. And having not played the arcade mode first, I didn't know what they did or how they would act. So it's like, I bought a weapon. And I'm like, man, I don't like this at all.
That was a waste of money.
That sucks. I spent a lot of money on this thing and I don't like it. Shit. That's on me. So yeah, play the arcade mode first. So you know what those weapons are. So you know which ones you want to blow money on. But yeah, I wish that like they gave you more currency, because when it comes down to it, like none of the abilities you get are like game breaking. It just gives you more options and different play styles. It just kind of makes the game more fun. So it's kind of a drag when I hit a wall and I'm just like, well, you know, I'm kind of stuck on this stage here. The paths branch out, so there's different stuff to do. You're not usually stuck on like one level, like, oh God, this is just all I have to do right now. Usually there's other stuff to do, but still when it's like, okay, well, I have two more shops open now and all the stuff's really expensive and I want to grind out more stuff, like that it just takes a while.
Yeah.
So that was kind of boring. The other problem is on some of the campaign levels, like there was some very noticeable like screen stuttering when there was like a lot of enemies and bullets and stuff on the screen and only on like a couple levels. And that sucks. Like that was like just like a straight up technical issue on a couple of levels. So hopefully that's something that they'll patch out. But it made those levels very troublesome when just like things aren't scrolling smoothly up and down, you know?
Yeah, especially in a fast paced shooter.
A very frantic, fast paced shooter when you know, the bullets don't always jump out and like, you know, you got to keep an eye on stuff. Campaign also has boss battles, some big, cool boss battles to fight through. There's like quite a bit to it. Like it'll take you a while, I think, to play through. And even beyond that, they have challenges like being able to beat a level without firing your gun.
Oh, Lord.
Because you just and what you do there is you just stomp on enemies. You just do all stomps, which is like not as outrageous as it sounds, especially. I remember one level in particular where like there's acid that would like rise to cover like 2/3 of the level, so that like all I was doing is trying to maintain my height in that level so I wasn't going to get burned by acid when it flowed upwards. So it's more possible than you think. And like the way that you can, you know, stomp and jump and reset your jump and be very mobile in the air, like makes the game fun. And I think opens things up to, you know, more advanced play styles. You know, than just kind of a standard hopping and shooting around.
Yeah.
I think that is about it for Hell is Other Demons.
How's the soundtrack?
It's pretty darn good. Thank you. Yeah, that's written down somewhere in here.
I figure since they mention it in the blurb, we should talk about it on the show.
Yeah, no, it does. It does have like a good synthy soundtrack. It did take me a while to attune my ears to, just speaking purely from the sound effect, sound design, between the sound where my character was taking damage and the sound where I was stomping on an enemy's head. I had a tough time distinguishing those. Those are two very different things.
Yeah.
Cause like being able to, you know, kind of guess how much health my character has without looking at the upper left, is important. Though, I mean, not like I should be taking damage at all, but it lets me know how safe I need to play. But yeah, the music itself is quality, I will say, for sure.
Somewhere awesome. Around. So, $10 on Hell is Other Demons, what do you say?
Yeah, that's a good price for this. Absolutely, for a fun arcadey shooter. Like, the problems aren't deal breakers, and I was feeling a lot lower on the game before I played the arcade mode. And then I played the arcade mode, and I'm like, oh, well, this is a lot more fun, and I'm getting to like experiment with all these weapons that I can't afford in the campaign mode. This is great, and it's a lot of fun. It's a cool game, especially for $10. That's a good deal, I think.
Cool. So play arcade mode first,
play arcade mode first. It has online leaderboards. Yeah.
What are you ranked?
Bad. I only uploaded my score once because I was like, I don't want to do that. I just want to go back and restart. I know my score is bad. Don't rub it in my face.
Nice.
Get there.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode. Tim, thanks for coming on and helping wrap up the show with me. Always good having you on.
Hell yeah. This is the end game of this podcast. Do we change the name again this week? Because they're not the Viking Experience anymore. Now they're Viking Raiders.
So and I read the they might have changed Raiders. Again. Really?
Something else. Yeah, I don't remember what.
Oh, Jesus.
I think it might have just been like a dumb typo on like the website or something like that. I hope. Viking Raiders is like a compromise I can live with, even though I still think it's stupid. And that the fact their heels is stupid.
And the fact that they changed their individual names.
There's a lot that's dumb about it. And
it's almost like WWE is stupid. And we are punished for watching.
There's just one man that needs to retire very soon.
Hopefully.
And he never will until he is dead.
Well, so, let's all hope the XFL takes off.
Dude, I saw like, I guess on like some kind of wrestling time. It's at the end of the show. You guys can leave if you want. like Vince was saying like, oh yeah, the reason the ratings are down is because like a bunch of our talent was out injured all at the same time. It's like, no, dude, it's your show sucks.
It's you. You're the problem. You. It's
Raw. Raw is bad. SmackDown's fine. Just not as many people watch SmackDown, but Raw is abysmal. And then like, yeah, like everyone liked WrestleMania because it was fun and everyone loves TakeOver. Like people love some of the product you put out, just not the one you put the most at the forefront. Come on, man.
So they like the stuff your son-in-law is doing.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Man.
Right.
Always have to have a little bit of wrestling.
Gotta have a little bit.
Well, music, I'm going to play a couple of Animal Crossing songs because I'm kind of in an Animal Crossing mood. It was raining today, and I always think of the original rain music from Animal Crossing on the GameCube, and I want to listen to some Animal Crossing.
Still played more of Animal Crossing on GameCube than anything else. I mean, it was all still fresh then, but like even more than the portable ones, it was just like, man, it was just like so fun and new and cool and like doing all the events and stuff for the first time. And I still have my save with my town, and boy, are those people angry and shocked when I come back. And there's a lot of weeds, too.
It's been 1,473 days since you've last been here.
Oh, my God. I thought you were dead. Is this a ghost? What is the going? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Lord. So, yeah, Animal Crossing music. Tim, do you have any final words to end the show?
I do not. No. Sorry. Brrr.